Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, licensed family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Good afternoon, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon, Hank.
It's quite a crew you've got in there today.
I have a party going on inside the studio today, and I'm really excited because usually it's just a little me hanging out here with you. And today I do have some friends in the studio, and I'm excited about our conversation, so we're going to jump right into it. We do get together every week to talk about those things that go on in our lives, things that we might be struggling with, our challenges, but we also like to talk about our joys. We like to talk about those things in our lives that make getting up in the morning worth it, those things that excite us, the things we look forward to. And for many of us, one of the things we look forward to is summer and the change in the weather and the ability to get outdoors and play and have a good time, which is kind of ironic to say because we're not in the Northeast, right? We're not under 10 feet of snow at this moment. We have nothing most of the time but sunshine and great weather here, which is a benefit because we can look forward to getting out whenever we'd like to. And it surprises me how often I hear from families that I work with and children that I work with and friends of mine who are raising children, how often I hear that they're not getting out, that they don't have time in their schedule to be out in nature, playing, relaxing, enjoying, learning, interacting. And that makes me really sad because not only does it feel good to get out into the sunshine and interact with nature and be a part of the world around us, it's essential to our mental health and well-being to be connected to the outside world. And it's incredibly essential to the development of our children's minds and bodies. Remember what I said here, minds and bodies, because we know that's great for our bodies to be outside playing and jumping and running. But our minds, our development, our children's brain needs to be interacting with nature from a very young age in order to develop wholly. And a lot of research supports this. So I understand how busy our lives are. Mine is very busy, and our lives are busy. There's so much to do. There's so many opportunities, and it's wonderful how technology has made our lives easier in many ways. It's wonderful that we have opportunities, and we're thankful when we have work, and we're thankful when our children have a lot of opportunities to learn and explore. But unfortunately, it seems that in this rush of change over the last 20, 30 years, the thing that's been thrown out is the time outside. You know, you might have your family playing soccer or tennis or more formal organized sports that get them out. But I'm talking about that time that you spend with no goal, with no outcome necessary. That time you spend just looking at trees and rocks and birds and breathing the air and touching the sand and getting your hands dirty. That kind of time seems to have been the thing that's been thrown away or lost or misplaced in our changing society. And that isn't a positive. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of research connecting the rise in mental health issues like depression and anxiety and ADHD, and anything else actually that has to do with our mental health and well-being connected to this lack of time interacting with nature. So I thought today would be a good time to bring in some experts to talk about some ways that we can get back in touch with the natural world, to get our families back in touch with the natural world in easy and fun and educational ways that will enhance our lives. And if it's not enough just to hear about all of these great ways that you can get your family and yourself back outside, because it's not just for families. We're going to talk about ways that individuals can get involved out in nature and the natural world and interact through these programs. If it's not enough to hear all the fun ways to get involved with the natural world, I also want to talk a bit about those costs that we will suffer and our kids will suffer if we continue down this path of spending very little time interacting with the natural world. Because I know what you're thinking. You know, I get out all the time. I make sure my kids play. I know we're busy. The natural world is important. I really love, you know, the sunshine and we live at the ocean and we have, but you're probably not really outdoors as much as you think you are. I mean, if you really were going to be honest with yourself, you're probably not taking advantage of real downtime, watching clouds float by, or exploring a little known path as you think you are. I mean, even myself, I'll admit that I spend every single day 2 hours outside doing something, but it's kind of with a purpose. You know, I'll hike Johnson Ranch or I'll hike Reservoir Canyon, but I'm trying to get that exercise in. So although I'm out in nature doing it, not in a treadmill, there is a part of me that's still on a mission. And what we're talking about is not having a mission and just letting what's out there unfold for us. And that's a different way of approaching the natural world. So this is a conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And if you'd like to be part of this program, we always like to hear from you at 805-781-3875. You can catch previous shows at our website, thereluctanttherapist.com. You can also find out information about the show on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. And you can also interact with the program at our wonderful kcbx.org website. We're under the News and Talk tab. All of our previous shows from the last few years are available there. All right, so today I have three guests in the studio. My first guest is Susan Pendergast, and she is the director of Outside Now. And Outside Now, if you're not familiar, is a nonprofit educational organization dedicated to getting people of all ages reconnected to the natural world. Susan herself is an educator. She spent years working as a special ed teacher, did therapeutic play therapy, and she's been with Outside Now for 8 of the 10 years they've been in the area. And I really didn't know Outside Now existed, and I'm sad because I would have loved to have connected both of my daughters to their programs. My other guest, Ken Miles, is the executive director of Campfire. And I guess they're not Campfire Boys and Girls anymore, it's just Campfire, but it is a co-ed nature-based program. And Ken, how long have you been with Campfire Now?
The last 2 years.
2 years. Mm-hmm. So welcome. And then my final guest is Emily Starkey, whom I've known since she was probably 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. And now she is the director of Camp Natoma, which is our local Sleep Under the Stars summer camp that's located in the Adelaide area. And how long have you been associated with Camp Natoma, Emily?
This will be my 11th summer working up there.
Wow. And how many years had you gone as a child?
I think about 8 summers as a kid.
All right. Starting when you were, what, 6 or 7?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a long time. So welcome, guests, to the conversation. And Susan, I'd like to start with you and Outside Now. Can you tell us a little bit about Outside Now and what you do?
I'd be happy to. I hope I can retrieve words. It's been a while since I've been on the radio. Outside Now is a grassroots organization. It's evolved to the place it's at now because of the people who showed up to make it happen, and most of the people who did initially and still are parents of children who are involved, who wanted the natural world to be at the heart of their child's education, to not just be a place that you visit, but to be the primary instructor of your child. And a thing that stands out for me in what we do, and we have programs preschool through high school, and this year we're really happy to have launched some adult programs as well and hope to do more of that, is that when you, as an educator, I know that I always try to excite my students and enliven their senses. When you step outside and have nature be the primary educator for a kid, the senses are just all lit up, and not just the physical senses, but intuitive abilities, abilities to empathize, to read subtle communication. There's so much that happens in terms of connecting to the natural world, but also to yourself as an individual and your own personal identity, and in relationship to the people that you're out and grouped up with. So that's a starter.
So for those who don't know, what yes. exactly is the core mission of Outside Now? What do you offer to children?
We offer, we're excited this year, we offer a preschool program called Coyote Pups for 3 to 6-year-olds. Mm. And that's a North County program that we hope to expand into San Luis Obispo next year as well. So when you're out in nature with 3 to 6 year olds, they pretty much show you the way. Mm-hmm. And it's who they are and their natural curiosity and their easy connection with the natural world that we don't want to lose as the children grow up. So then we have a Nature Explorers program, which is for the next school age level. And most of the kids we go out with at present are homeschooled or unschooled students. Mm-hmm. But we have one after school program this year and hope to expand our after school offerings to some school sites, other school sites. And we're working with the Montessori program right now to make that happen. What we're doing in the Nature Explorers then is expanding on more complex involvement with the environment and pushing kids' edges. When you're out on program with us, we are a mentor-based model. So the children are out being questioned a lot, followed around and questioned and drawn into experiences that might have to do with wilderness survival or tracking or learning the language of the birds. And out of that program, we draw kids into a comprehensive middle school, high school program.
So you actually offer full school for middle school and
high
school students?
We do. We have a partnership with Global Village School in Ojai, which is a international correspondence school. So our programs are accredited via private school. And that's called Nature Academy, and it's the most developed aspect of who we are because it was my daughter and other people's children who first entered into Outside Now and wanted to be together more. Well, we like going out one day a week and having this homeschool experience the rest of the time or whatever school experience they were having, but we'd really rather be together, which is a beautiful facet of being a teenager or a preteen. Mm-hmm. So that's why that program developed into something comprehensive. And we do academic instruction, but the heart of the program is nature connection. We're outdoors 3 of the 5 days of the week.
Where is the physical school?
There is none. We're nomads. We are actually, if anybody's listening, we're actually looking for a home base to like at least have as a starting point for a day. We do our academic instruction in partnership with St. Benedict's Church on Los Osos Valley Road. So we have 2 indoor days. But the rest of the time we meet at local parks. We have vans and then we caravan out to natural settings and have our experiences throughout the county and wilderness settings.
So when you talk about nature-based education, this is nature-based.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which I think my campfire guests can appreciate because much of their work, much of their facility is nature-based also. So, Ken, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on in campfire these days? And because I think a lot of people associate campfire with candy and clubs and programs like that.
Well, campfire was actually founded in 1910 during the Industrial Revolution. And the founders were concerned that children had lost their connection to nature. All the kids were in the city, and they were doing city things. Kind of sounds familiar now, except our kids are on the computers and not out in nature. And so it was to reintroduce those inner-city children back into nature. And so we've been doing this for 105 years. Currently, we do lots of activities. We have our day camp at the end of the school year at Camp Tacanico, which is at Camp Arroyo Grande in the city of Arroyo Grande. And then we have 5 weeks we offer Sleeping Under the Stars at our Camp Natoma. We also have all of our official campfire members. They do different kinds of camping outings as well. And just recently, we do community hikes open to the public for children and their families every other week where they are taking one of the trails, all of our wonderful opportunities we have here on the Central Coast to introduce children and families to different hiking aspects of our county.
I was really excited about the weekend activities, the hikes for families, because I think that a lot of people would love to get out with their children, but if they weren't raised hiking or getting out in the world, that it's a little daunting to know even where to go with your children. So I love that Campfire has started this kind of easy access to getting out and doing hikes and activities with their children and their parents, everyone together.
Well, what makes it so easy is that it's planned.
Yes, it's planned for you, which I love even
show
more.
Show up, doesn't cost anything. And we have one of our outdoor educators that take take the families on the hikes, and he gears the strenuousness of each hike based on who shows up. Mm-hmm. We also are reaching out to underrepresented youth, middle school and high school kids, where we're introducing them to nature. And these are non-campfire kids, but they're either a faith-based organization, some after-school clubs, that type of stuff, where we're taking them out on these same hikes. We recently did a hike here right in San Luis Obispo on one of the smaller peaks, and these high school, middle school kids were very excited to see to be there, and they saw this beautiful meadow and said, "Are we going to hike that meadow?" And I said, "No," and I pointed up.
We're going up
that hill, and they just went, "Oh, my gosh, I don't know if we can do it." And sure enough, they climbed it, and they were so it was so childlike, their enthusiasm, that they were able to climb that mountain to see things they've never seen before. And our naturalist pointed out a gazillion things that they would have overlooked otherwise that made it quite an exceptional day for them.
I know. I think one of the things that we as parents overlook is that nature is all around if you stop and notice. And children, as Susan was saying, naturally from the time they're born are craving to be connected to nature because that is their biology, right? That's their DNA, is getting out and touching bugs and looking at flowers. And they already speak that language some way. And we tend to lose it throughout junior high and high school. For many reasons, one, because we're busy with other things, but because as adolescents develop, they kind of get that hardened shell where everything's uncool, and nature starts to be one of those things they can avoid. So how wonderful that Campfire has this opportunity. This is a conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and if you're just tuning in, I have three guests in the studio today. Susan Pendergast from Outside Now, the director of Outside Now, our local nonprofit educational organization, dedicated to getting people of all ages reconnected to the natural world. I also have the executive director of Campfire, Ken Miles, here, talking about how Campfire has adjusted to the changes in our lifestyles here in the 21st century and is making programs and activities available to all people who want to get involved. You don't have to be a Campfire member necessarily. You just have to want to do something fun and exciting. And my third guest is Emily Starkey, who is the director of Camp Natoma, which is our local Sleep Under the Stars camp that's been around since
1941,
and it's right in our backyard. Both of my daughters grew up going to camp. Both of my daughters have been counselors at camp, and I'm excited to have Emily talk a little bit about why is it important to send your children to camp?
Yeah, so Camp Natoma is our local overnight Sleep Under the Stars summer camp. We've been offering a traditional and very rustic experience for youth from first grade all the way through high school since 1941. And today we want to help families have the opportunity for their child to attend camp because of the benefits that they can get from this independent experience. While kids are at camp, whether they're 7 or 17, they're reconnecting with their inner identity. They're trying new things. They're pushing their own boundaries. They're gaining resilience because their mom and dad isn't there to turn to right away. Their comfortable bed isn't there. Their iPhone's not there. Instead, they need to be making connections with other people, with fellow campers, with our fabulous staff. And while they're out in nature, they are gaining not just skills such as swimming and archery, but they're also exploring creativity. They're developing teamwork strategies, and they are being joyful out in nature.
So I know, Emily, that you have quite an extensive educational background in children and nature. And I think your master's thesis was really dedicated to studying nature deficit disorder, which we've talked about in the air a couple of times. But can you remind people what this is and why we should be concerned about it?
Yes. Yeah, so as I was studying to be a classroom educator, I realized that my real passion was working outdoors with children where there was fewer boundaries and more creativity and exploration. And in my studies, I did a lot of research along the lines of author Richard Louv, who wrote Last Child in the Woods. And he coined the term nature deficit disorder, which is actually not a clinical term in the sense of the medical world, but it is a description of the mindset, the physical and emotional well-being of children and adults today who have not had extensive experiences in the outdoors. And curiously, he's worked even with pediatricians to have them offer a nature prescription to heal some of the ailments that children and adults of these modern times are facing. And so I was able to connect my studies to become a classroom educator a lot with my experiences working in outdoor education and with summer camps, and explore how we can complement education with outdoor experiences, or perhaps with outside now, replace traditional education, and really find a more whole child, whole brain experience where we're connecting our physical body, we're gaining different physical skills being outdoors, in addition to emotional well-being and other health aspects.
And so, Susan, talk a little bit about, you know, what got you involved. What were your concerns? What was missing for your child's education that you wanted to find?
Well, my children are a little unique. Both of my kids are adopted, so it was a difficult experience to have them integrated into traditional school settings. So I always had my antenna out for something unique, and it wasn't particularly at the time nature connected. It was just connected in some way that was going to light these kids up. So what I learned right along with them by getting involved in some of the formative experiences with this organization, with Outside Now, was that to get your bare feet in the soil and to climb a tree in an uninhibited way, we were talking about that a little earlier, how fearful people are of letting kids push their edges a little bit, but being out in the natural world and touching a tree and leaning against it and making a hideout and knowing how to build your own debris hut so you know you can survive, and learning those skills, it was just huge healing experience for my own children. So there's that aspect of healing that goes on. And there's also, for me, in looking at children who have nature at the center of their education, they just tend to be really lit up people. Mm-hmm. And we have looked at indigenous cultures, earth-based cultures of the world, to draw our techniques, if you will, or our ways of being with children, and really are looking at how did earth-connected, village-based learning, how does that work, and how can we use that now? How can we mentor children now? And so we looked at, and were actually mentored by people from indigenous cultures, on this is what we want our children to know when they reach adulthood. And it was very different from what we traditionally want children to know when they reach adulthood. But it was a lot of what you were speaking about earlier, about resiliency, about attitudes that you have, about being fully alive and energetic, of being a peacemaker in the world, knowing what your gifts and your passions are, and being willing to pass those forward. Those are all things that was the way of educating, and that is the way of educating in earth-based culture. So that's what we bring, and that's what I loved for my own children and got me to stay involved.
So what I'm hearing parents saying, though, but what about the technology education? You know, why would I leave traditional school? Because everything about 21st century learning and STEM, and my child won't be able to keep up. And so should I be concerned? Emily and Susan, I'm sure you both have wisdom on this. I mean, should parents be so fearful that their child is going to fall behind if they're not being pushed in the 21st learning style?
Well, I think that there is a connection that can be complementary to traditional education, and that experiences in nature fuel their interest in science. And from my experience recently with sixth grade students, if they've been hands-on with their feet in the ocean or their hands in the creek and their hands in the garden or the forest, then all of a sudden when we're discussing life cycles or the water cycle, it's more connected. It makes more sense. It's tangible. Mm-hmm. And that this science doesn't become interesting until they've experienced nature, because nature is science. But they need to be fueled by that experiential learning before the classroom learning has deep-rooted power within them. Mm-hmm. And I think that as far as technology, there are so many opportunities for technology. But even school districts are looking towards 21st century skills beyond plugging away at a computer. It's things like creativity and collaboration. And those aren't classroom skills as far as something you can learn from a textbook, but they are things you can learn with a community of people in the outdoors. And that's where both of our organizations, I think, root as importance is community and creativity and interacting, because those are 21st century skills. We don't know if in these kids' lives, they probably won't have keyboards in 20 years, or they won't have, they'll be brand new technology. So we don't need to force that upon them right now. We need to give them the like whole being skills.
Interesting. What about you, Susan? Should parents, if they're going to send their middle school or high school age student to you for an education, will they fall behind? Will they not be able to get a job at the end of their education?
I would say as early as 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, I heard that a lot from people. And there would be a lot of head scratching. Well, what do you actually learn in this program? And we do have academic learning as well. But I don't get that very much, and we don't hear that very much anymore, at least from the people who are electing to try a different approach. Because they're understanding exactly what you just said, that the skills, the tools, the attributes that somebody needs to possess to be successful and healthy in the world today are not necessarily a checklist of technical skills or bits of knowledge. We have kids now, we have some longevity. We have students in four-year colleges, in trade schools. We have students who go into the world of work, go out and look for an apprentice. And so the answer that I feel really comfortable in giving parents today is, if they want to go to college, of course they can, because they do. And they have, and they tend to not be inhibited by different situations. And also the kids graduating from the nature-based programs are used to interacting with people of all ages. They have a certain authenticity. They're very authentic with a three-year-old or a 50-year-old, and curious. And what do you have to teach me? Wow, that's great. Let me listen to you. They have these amazing skill set.
It's a type of confidence you're talking about that, yes, might be different than we can get in a traditional setting.
Yes.
If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. We're talking about nature-based education and the importance of being connected to the natural world for not just our children's mental health and well-being, but also for us as adults. And why are we not spending natural time in the natural world the way we should have? How did we lose that connection? How did we get so focused on everything being organized and time limited and sanctioned by a sporting event? We've lost our ability in many ways to just play outside, and we're missing a vital link of our children's education and development. And I keep going back to that developmental piece, because I had read a while ago an article about brain development. And what makes human babies unique is that they're born with three quarters of their brain developed. There's still a quarter of that brain development that needs to happen after they're born. Unlike, you know, other species that are born with their brain whole, our children still have a quarter of their brain that connects to the world around them, that makes us unique. But that quarter of brain development really has to happen in connection to the natural world. And that stunned me as a parent. And that should stun all of us as parents, because we're so focused on that 21st century learning and the technology. And as Emily said, a lot of the forward thinkers are saying, you know, many of the jobs, 44% of the jobs, according to some Stanford research, 44% of those jobs that exist today will not be there in 5 years, because technology is changing so much that a lot of our kids that are focused in in only one area are going to have a hard time finding work because they're not creative. They don't have an ability to collaborate or think outside the box or utilize their skills. So we're happy to take your calls on this conversation also. 805-781-3875 if you'd like to have your say or ask a question of my guests. And Ken, I'm sure you have a lot to add to this.
Yeah, I'd like to pick up on that creative place and thinking about this topic and doing a little research. It was interesting for me to find that we have less unstructured creative play for our children, more so than any time in human history. So there's got to be some consequences of that if we don't have that creativity. And in the workplace, you need to be creative, adaptive. And I can't think of a better place than out in nature. The other concern I have is I had an opportunity to go to Alaska a few years ago, and we were at this point up there where it was just all dry land, and way off in the distance you could see an ice formation that not so many years ago was right to where I was standing. So it was like the question is why would I care about that if I hadn't had a connection to nature? Why would I care? And if my grandchildren aren't connected to nature, will they care and take care of the planet like it needs to be taken care of? So these are some of the kind of things I discovered. And if we don't have that connection, then we find ourselves not adapting and not being creative in a ways that we can be successful in other areas.
Well, and I think you brought up, you touched on something that I think comes up for a lot of people is also this mourning of loss of nature, seeing things change and climate change, that it can be overwhelming for people. And as a clinician, we're seeing people who are struggling with anxiety and depression. It could be called eco-psychology, this fear or sadness and mourning of the changing in climate. And so I think it becomes even more important to get our children out and adapting and understanding how to survive and to building resilient skills. And I think instead of retreating and burying our heads in the sand, that this is the time to be out there more and more to be ready for change, because the climate and the world and things are changing. So what will it look like to interact with nature in the next 15, 20 years? And as you said, if we don't experience things hands-on, we don't have a connection enough to want it, change it, and protect it.
That's correct.
So I'm curious what Campfire has done to kind of adjust to the changing interests of families. What kind of program changes?
Well, I think that for us, it's been to, what do they say, that children spend 40 to 65 hours a week on their electronic devices.
Oh, no.
And many of that is multitasking on more than one electronic device
at a time.
So it's phones and computers.
It's all those
and
things.
TV.
And Xbox games. So they can do a lot at once.
Yes, they
can. That has nothing to do with being outside.
So our concern at Campfire was how can we make it more convenient to engage more people in the outdoors? And so this family hiking, making camp accessible, getting camperships, getting the public to support other children that would otherwise not be able to come to camp, those kinds of things, to be intentional at Campfire, to look at underrepresented youth and children who traditionally haven't had the opportunities of being outdoors. You know, you mentioned earlier on the show that we live in this beautiful place and we think we're outdoors, that maybe that hurts us. Because we work with a lot of kids in this area who've never been to the beach.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I said that, you know, if we were to be honest, how much time do you really spend interacting with nature other than going for a jog on a path?
Right.
Right? It seems to always be kind of intentioned base. You're listening to KCBX. This is Elizabeth Barrett in a conversation with a reluctant therapist. Kristen, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to jump in and say thank you so much for covering this topic, because it's near and dear to my heart. I work for San Francisco County Parks, and one of the things I've strived to do in my position is create more outdoor opportunities for families in our community. And one of the things we're actually doing that is going to be our fourth year is the Outdoor Discovery Festival at Lopez Lake on May 9th. And we've tried to create a lot of different activities and bring a lot of people out that can share their message or an activity that gets kids and their families out participating in these activities and hands-on experiences with outdoor education.
So it's May 9th up at Lopez, Kristen?
Yes, May 9th.
And so do families, is there a cost for this?
It's $10 for entry per vehicle. And so as many people can fit into a vehicle can come out for $10. and then as far as the activities, they're all free, with the exception of, like, the Vista Lago Adventure Park, which will have – we actually have some zip line giveaways for everyone who participates in the DEER Program Challenge. And the DEER Program is our Discovering the Environment Through Education and Recreation, and that is San Francisco County's parks recreation for kids, bringing them out and experiencing everything that we have to offer.
And there is so much out there. Kristen, thank you so much for sharing that information, because I think the more that we talk about opportunities, the easier it becomes. And when you have a couple minutes or an evening or an afternoon or a weekend where you say, what should we do this weekend? Hopefully there's more and more that comes up. There's campfire. There's outside now activities. Now there's the county parks. And you smiled when Kristen talked about the May 9th. So will you be there?
Yes, Camp Natoma has been part of the Lopez Outdoor Discovery Festival, I think, as well as Outside Now. Mm-hmm. We were there the first year they had the program out at Lopez, and we hosted an archery booth. And so the families that come, families including kids and adults, go around to the different booths and stations and get to try a huge array of outdoor activities, from archery to, I know they were doing some paddleboarding. They've done different scat and tracking, all kinds of different activities. And once you're there, you just get to go around young and old and try the activities. And yes, we'll be back again this year.
And I think, you know, what we should talk about is how to empower parents to get their kids outside, because I think there's a lot of pushback from children. And one of the greatest parenting mistakes I hear over and over again are parents saying, do you want to do, and then filling the blank. And children will naturally always say no, especially when they don't have any experience with it. You know, children more than likely are going to stay with what's comfortable. And so if you say, let's go for a hike, and the opportunity is hiking or sitting inside in my pajamas and eating cereal, hiking sounds like work, I'm going to say no. Or do you want to go to camp? No, because they don't know what camp is. They have no context for camp. And if you grew up not going to camp or being outside, you're hobbling your child from that experience because of your own lack of experience with camp. So I think we should talk a little bit about some of those things that prevent parents from allowing their children to go to camp. And, you know, you talk about Natoma being open for 7 years old to 17 out of first grade. And I can imagine a lot of parents thinking, oh, no, that's too young. My child won't survive without me. But I think, if truth be told, the parents are worried they won't survive without their child. So how do we overcome those barriers, both Susan and Emily, to parents getting their children out to participate?
Well, as for Camp Natoma, I think that it's very true that a 7-year-old doesn't have the context, or even a 12-year-old, what is camp if they've never been. Mm-hmm. And so most kids are willing to try new things if that context is framed for them, and that the fear, perhaps from the parent's perspective, is the limiting factor. And what we've done to try to help ease that fear is provide an environment that is welcoming for new families, and especially to ease those fears, having some very concrete ways that we provide a safe, nurturing, and developmentally appropriate environment for campers of all ages. One of those ways that we can help parents understand the value of camp for their child, and that their child is ready and capable of going to camp, is that we are accredited by the American Camp Association. The American Camp Association is an outside body. Just like a school can become accredited, a camp can be accredited. And what that means is we are inspected for our hiring practices, our programming, our facilities, our health and safety. And this is an outside vouch for our quality, and a way to reassure parents that it's not just, oh, the camp director is saying this is a good thing for your kids, but an outside organization that evaluates quality programming and its value for children. So being accredited is something that our camp has done to help ease fear for parents. We also want to meet and greet you before your child comes to camp. We want to show you pictures and videos. We want to meet you face to face. Myself and some of my camp counselors attend events in the community and have parent info nights to help make that personal connection with families before their child comes to camp.
And there's also family camp for parents that are wanting to go out with their children and experience for the first time.
Yes, family camp. We have two. One is at the end of June and one is Labor Day weekend. It's a chance for just for a weekend for the parent to see what camp is like, live it, get to do the activities that they often ask, hey, I want to go to camp. And also meet our staff and really understand the community that's built in our programming. So,
and how do people find information about Camp Natoma? Do you have websites now and Facebook and all the...
Yes. So although our camp is very rustic and little to no technology, we are on the World Wide Web. We have a website, Camp Natoma. That's natoma.org. And we're also on Facebook. Just search for Camp Natoma. And both of those have resources for our camp. And then Campfire, as Ken has been talking about, also has a website, campfirecentralcoast.org, that lists those family hikes and other programs that we offer.
And Susan, how does Outside Now address parental fears? Because you also do a summer program.
We do. We have a menu of summer camps that should be on our website this week. I hoped it would be on today, but it'll be here by Friday. We've been working hard with a really extended array of programs. And we really are about educating children as a community. So family involvement is super important to us. We have community nature days, which are a lot like what Emily was describing. It allows parents an opportunity to come out and have a nature day as their children would experience it. What do you do? What are you doing with my child out in the wilderness all day? And they get to come and do that. We have interspersed those throughout the school year. And then we're also having family camp over the summer. And we also connect in with other organizations to do something called the Art of Mentoring, which is a big family experience that's in the Santa Cruz area. And it's an opportunity to learn not just about what we do with children out in nature, but for people to learn about their own connectedness to the natural world. So those are some of the ways that we introduce families. And our Coyote Pups program, for example, is a parents are welcome to stay and be a part of that. So a parent who has a concern is always welcome to participate in our programs.
And I assume you have a website also.
We do. We do. www.outsidenow.org. And, yeah, visit us.
And if you're just tuning in, I'm Elizabeth Barrett with my guest, Susan Pendergast from Outside Now, director of Outside Now, which is a local nonprofit educational organization. They offer actually schooling for middle school through high school as a non-traditional way of getting education along with other programs. I have the executive director from Campfire, Ken Miles, with me here also today, talking about the way that Campfire has made adjustments to meet the needs of families and children from all different economic backgrounds and social backgrounds to get involved with their community. Because it's not just nature-based activities for Campfire. Also, it's a full program for youth to develop in many, many ways. And my other guest is Emily Starkey, who is the director of Camp Natoma, which we've been talking about, our Sleep Under the Stars camp. And we welcome you to join our conversation, 805-781-3875. If you have any questions or comments for my guests, we'd love to hear from you. And Ken, why don't you talk a little bit about some of the other ways that families and kids can get involved? Do you have to be a member to do, do you have to be a club member to do these campfire activities?
We have clubs at several school sites throughout the county, including Santa Barbara County, North Santa Barbara County, where children and families can participate in weekly meetings. We also have our Teens in Action, where we work with teens. We're a youth development specialist organization where we take children from age 5 on up and work with families so that children will reach their fullest potential. Our Teens in Action is where we begin to work with kids who have no association with Campfire and begin to do community service projects. We're very much about voice and choice for kids and following their natural curiosity, following their passions, following what's important to them, particularly in community service projects. We have kids doing things that they choose to do, which makes us quite distinctive. And one of the things I wanted to bring up was also that I have a blog up on our website addressing this nature deficit disorder. That concludes that, our history in Campfire is about being outdoors, so everything we do is connected to the outdoors. And in this blog, the conclusion of some studies, that there's a short video on there, and the conclusion is that children who are connected to the outdoors are happier, healthier, more intelligent, and well-adjusted. And so I think it's a powerful little 7-8 minute video that might introduce folks to this topic today. And then all of our camping and youth development programs are on that website.
And that's Campfire Central Coast?
CampfireCentralCoast.org.
Yes. .org. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's so much out there to be excited about. And I did want to, again, touch on, and not to scare people, but I think sometimes we need to be a little scared in order to take action, because it's very comfortable, our lives today, even though they're busy lives, with the ease of technology and be able to plug kids in and keep them busy so we can do our own thing, that it's easy to lose that connection and that that curiosity about what's out in the natural world, to notice birds and to notice the sound of the ocean and the sound, the feel of sand and the feel of dirt. And, we think that we need to purchase all of these activities for our children so that they will grow and develop or become more intelligent. But really, more of their learning, as Susan has said and Emily's talking about, happens from their interactions with the natural world, which costs absolutely nothing to be a part of. And I think in many ways, parents have been duped into believing that the more they spend on their child, the more their child will thrive. But the counter is actually true, that it should take less money to raise children and more actual hands-on time.
Yes, we have two outstanding organizations, Campfire and Camp Natoma and Outdoors. But to follow up on what you're saying, I was asked by my daughter to watch my grandson for a few hours the other day, and they dropped the child off. Says, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do with Tristan today?" And I said, "Oh, we'll think of something." And I was working in the yard, so I dug this great big hole, and I had this 3-foot pile of dirt. And Tristan said he brought his iPad, he brought all his three backpacks full of toys, and he wanted to watch a movie and all this sort of stuff. And I said, "Well, Grandpa's working in the garden today," and I had this big pile of dirt. 2 hours later, when my daughter came home, we were still outside. In this pile of dirt, we had dug a tunnel. We had one little car, and when my daughter got out of the car, says, "Tristan, what are you doing?" He began for about 15 minutes describing his experience, and his imagination had gone wild. And we had dug a tunnel, and there were all my daughter saw was some lines in the dirt and kind of fake roads and all that sort of stuff. He was so excited about being outdoors for 2.5 hours with Grandpa, playing in the dirt.
Unstructured,
no goal. Creative play, no goals. We didn't conquer anything. And so I think was it last weekend he came back to visit Grandpa again. First thing he wanted to do was go out and play in the dirt.
Right. If we don't introduce it to our children, they won't know to ask. If we don't make the opportunities available, our children have no context or experience to know what they're missing. And that's, to me, the heartbreak of how things have changed so quickly in our society, is our children have no memory of or experience of life on bikes and trees and forts and creeks that a lot of the parents do. And if you're waiting for your child to say, "I want to go outside," or if you're waiting for your child to say, "I want to play and build a fort," they're not going to ask you because they don't know the possibility exists. We as adults in our community are responsible for educating our children about the natural world. If we don't do it, our children will never get that opportunity. And Susan, you're nodding your head. Is something you've experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking back also to Ken had focused on connection. And one thing we talk about a lot with families and with our students is the ramifications of this disconnect. We are not separate from the natural world. We are essentially interwoven to the fabric of nature. So when you sort of artificially unplug a human being from the natural world, how can they be connected to their essence, to their essential gifts? How can they care about the environment that they're living in? How can they want to be at peace with the people around them if they don't understand they're part of the fabric of something? So I think that it is essential, and I it isn't to be scary, but the ramifications are huge from that disconnect. We can look at a lot of problems in the world today and trace the origins back to that disconnected sense.
Feeling lost.
And when you don't have orientation, we brought to Camp Natoma last year 50 at-risk youth, and they were going to do a community service project for us. And on the way in, our bus kind of got stuck on the road, and I jumped on the bus to kind of keep the kids calm as people were figuring things out. And I said, look out there. Look at how beautiful it is around here. And this one kid looked at me right in the eye and he says, are we going to sleep in this dirt? And I said, yeah, but I think you're going to like it. And so when they got to that camp, they set up their tents. They did a couple of hikes. They discovered some beautiful spots on Camp Natoma. They were so excited. Of course, naturally, the next morning, they didn't want to leave.
No one wants to leave once you're out. Cynthia, thanks for calling, and what's on your mind?
Oh, hi there. I just want to be sure that your listeners know about Wishing Well School. It's a nonprofit, small kindergarten and preschool in Los Osos that's entirely nature-based.
And say it again, the name?
It's called Wishing Well School.
Wishing Well.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. Well, and I'm so glad you called in also, Cynthia, because I do think that the more we have the conversation about all of these nature-based activities and education, the more parents will start seeking it out. Because I think as parents trying to do the best for our families, we kind of go where the flow is, right? We go where most of the other people are going, which isn't necessarily in the best interest of our children and our families. And so I think the conversation about nature-based education has to get louder than the glowy, shiny objects of the technology and the organized time that we have. So Wishing Well is out in Los Osos. And is this a parent participation?
No, actually, it's not. It's the Waldorf School, and our teachers are trained in the Waldorf method. We have a garden, and parents do participate in some ways. There's a little bit of volunteer here and there, but I'm afraid we do charge money. But that's how we make it happen, and we just think that outdoor-based education is so important, and I'm so glad that you have this topic today.
I'm glad you called in, Cynthia, and it makes me happy to know that there are things happening all over. And so for you, Emily, you know, doing this work that you're passionate about, overseeing Camp Natoma, and there's traditions that go along with Natoma for people who've returned year after year that must be so special. What is it you hope children leave Camp Natoma with? What do you hope they take home with them after a week sleeping under the stars?
Well, personally, as well as our mission for Camp Natoma, is that campers leave with a sense of independence and confidence and a belief that they can make differences in their own life and other people's lives through their new relationships and their new skills that they've learned at camp.
I want to second that in that it's not just nature when you do camping. It's about community and the connection to other people. When the iPads and the cell phones are put away, they have to talk.
Yes, they have to interact.
And when you live and you're kind of dependent on each other, it is a whole new way of getting that human connection that seems to be diminishing in our culture. And it's rediscovered there at Camp Natoma and probably in any kind of a camping experience.
I'm sure the outside now camps, there's no technology allowed either.
Oh, no.
And there is something, you know, we've talked a lot about technology fast and how important it is to take breaks from technology. But I'm going to keep saying the same thing. I understand you're busy. I understand your lives are full. But if you don't model for your children technology fast yourself, they are not going to naturally put away their games or their screens. You know, we as parents really are the models for this. And so I think all of this conversation really starts with helping parents to get past their fears or their reluctance or their uncertainty about how to get outside with your children and participate. Lindsay, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm a mentor with Outside Now. Susan is my boss. And I'm calling because I'm feeling really inspired to share a piece of our programming that's become a core part of our culture at the school, which is catching stories. And we have these children having incredibly connected experiences on the land. And it's so easy for a kid to go home and when the parent asks, what have you done today, to respond with, and that's been hung out. And part of our what we do is called Story of the Day. And each day we are catching stories. And as mentors, we're asking potent questions to the kids to pull the details out. And what happens is essentially these stories become woven into the fabric of the children. And they're walking around now saying, wow, this is my life. I'm living this connected life. I'm having these experiences and they're being validated by my community. And so I wanted to point that out, that that's something that we do. And it's been an incredibly potent experience for me to have my stories witnessed and to do that for my kids.
That's beautifully said, Lindsay. Thank you for calling in. And I think it is important to know how to talk to our children, to draw out their experiences and to remind them that you are alive every moment. And when you're touching live things and the world around you, it makes us feel alive. So Susan, remind everyone once again about Outside Now and what you do.
Outside Now is a local nonprofit organization, and we have programs preschool through adult level, and we are devoted to reconnecting people to the natural world and through that to themselves and each other.
And you're part of a greater community of nature-based schools, correct?
We are. There are, I don't know how many, over 100 worldwide, and all of us have certain things in common. If you went out on a program day anywhere, you would see people doing certain core routines, expressing gratitude, doing sit spots in nature to get connected to place, listening for bird language, tracking, doing body awareness games. You would see a lot of the same activities going on, which identify us as connected.
And so we're talking about raising children that are fully whole mind, body, and spirit. And right now it seems like so much of our traditional education is just about mind. And we pay that price when our children leave home and their body and spirit are struggling. And Emily, last words from you about Camp Natoma.
Well, Camp Natoma has openings for the summer where we have 1 week overnight programs. Check out our website if you have a child who would be interested in, you know, going out sleeping under the stars, swimming, archery, arts and crafts, and reconnecting with themselves, with nature, and with new friends.
And what is the period of time that Camp Natoma operates, the sessions?
We operate from the end of June through the beginning of August.
Great. So as you're planning your summers, to start looking into that now. And again, you said if your children are interested, I'm saying from a mom who's been a mom for 29 years, do not ask, send your children. And that's true in almost all things. You know, it's great to give our children choices, but if they have no experience with something, they cannot make a choice.
Yes, and send them with the frame mindset that this is going to be an awesome experience. You don't need to mention anything that instills fear, because if they're going in with a completely positive mindset, those are the campers that get the most out of the program.
Absolutely. CampNatoma.org. And Ken, final thoughts from you from Campfire.
Well, Campfire is a youth development organization. We give children voice and choice and opportunities that they'll reach their fullest potential, and we connect them to nature. Camp Natoma is an extension of Campfire, and we probably have 400 or 500 kids go up to that camp each year, and we would look forward to having your listeners families come join us this year.
And also for the weekend outings that are free, and there are hikes locally all over the Central Coast that Campfire offers, and I cannot recommend them enough to parents and children who don't quite know how to get involved in nature. Look up campfirecentralcoast.org and get involved with these weekend trips. And I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. As always, I thank my guests for coming in. I thank my callers for participating. You can listen to previous shows on our website, thereluctanttherapist.com, or at kcbx.org. We'll be back next week with an interview with Dr. Rian Eisler. I am so excited to share her with you all and share another story. Please tune in again. I'm Elizabeth Barrett for KCBX.